Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty, that's a good answer. Well, welcome everyone. This is Gordon, as I said, W2TTT. We're using the call sign of K2BAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association and Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. This net is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.955 megahertz, 146.955, and it's about having a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, the underlying science and technology that we use and depend on that makes our wonderful radio-based hobby work, and of course our experiences, things we've done, things we aspire to do, things we like to do again, and of course things we never want to do again. Makes for a very entertaining time. We can also post for sale or swap or wanted items, and you can even post any number of those combinations of things. So you're welcome to mix it up and offer multiple things. Anyway, so with no further ado, let's talk about how we check in. And we check in with our call sign, our name. We indicate whether we have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item. Some combination of those things or none of the above. We will do this in an orderly way. And since I know we have at least two EchoLink users tonight, we're going to start with our EchoLink users checking in. Collect them first, and then we'll go by call sign group. And let's see. First things first, NTVA said, why don't you check in at this time if you can, and indicate what your pressure, what your desires are. Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR. This is November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu. Name is Ken, Kilo Echo November. QTH is Alliance, Nebraska. I'm Mobile. Nothing to ask, just listening, just supporting the net. And back to net. K2BAR, this is N2BHZ.
Okay, very good, Ken. Thank you very much. N2OEL, your ball. I'll note him here. He's here. But I don't know his intentions at this time. We'll check back with Noel. Are there any other EchoLink stations? Alrighty, not a problem. Let's see. I should point out that if stations wish to check in via EchoLink, it's K2 Foxtrot Juliet-Lima, K2 Foxtrot Juliet-Lima. And also, the PL for the repeater, K2FJ repeater, is 141.3, and of course the offset is minus 600 kilohertz from a frequency of 146.955. So, with no further ado, let's go on. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter alpha. Let's call K2BAR.
AC2GI Mobile.
AC2GI, have you. What's your intentions, Rich?
Just driving through Sussex County right now. I'm just going to be listening.
Well, nice signal from Sussex County, Rich. A little picket fencing at times, but overall you're pretty good. Alrighty, any other alphas? Okie doke. How about we go for the Novembers?
This is N2OEL. One comment about cleaning up Apple devices by resetting them and reloading your data. N2OEL.
Okay, we'll get to that comment in a bit, Noel. Anybody else with a November call?
N8MAR, hello Gordon, hello everyone, this is David from Maywood Mobile. No questions, no comments.
Very good, David, welcome aboard. Any other Novembers? Okay, kilos. K2GFM. K2GFM, go ahead, Greg, what's your percent?
Good evening, Gordon. Hi, it's Greg from Montville, and I do have a question.
Got that noted. Any other kilos? Any other kilos?
KC2WDJ, just listening, and wanted to do a shout-out to K2AMI, Tony. I hope you check in tonight.
Roger, WDJ, nice hike the other day. What's your name again?
About that, name is Walter.
Yeah, and before, as I asked for it, I typed it from my memory, so I apologize. All right, very good. So do you have a story to tell, or are you just going to be listening tonight?
I'm just going to be listening, but I'm actually sitting on top of a mountain right now on 20-meter 14236, if anybody wants to get on.
Okay, 14236, so I'll make note of that. Very good. Alrighty, any other kilos? Okay, how about whiskeys?
J-E-K, Don, with a comment.
Drift in Bloomingdale, just listening in.
Bull River, New York, and just listening.
Okay, so let's see. I got W2JEK Don with a comment. I have W2LCN Rick just listening. You guys actually overlaid just fine. And then I have Jim WA2UMP just listening. Anybody, well, of you three, anybody have any corrections?
Noel, yeah, with a comment.
We'll get to your comment in a minute, Noel. Okay, any other whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie, just listening.
WA2QBC, question.
Hey, Bruce, and good evening to you, Charlie, as well. I apologize for not making the meeting. I think you were going to bring something, but in the middle of the afternoon, I was told you are going to the Mets game, so I have the fact that you have a question, but my apologies. We can get together, I'm sure, at some point over that device. Alrighty, any other whiskeys? Any other stations wishing to check in other than Echolink? We'll get to the Echolink in a minute.
KD2CAK Mobile, just supporting the net. Good evening.
Good evening, Ari. KB2, is it Kilo Bravo 2, Charlie Alpha Kilo?
Hello, David.
I thought my ear was playing a trick. I thought I knew better, but I thought my ear heard Bravo, so. All right, Ari, welcome aboard. Any other stations? Any call signs?
Whiskey 2, Juliet, Charlie. Nothing, or?
Good evening, Jim. Any other stations? All righty. Anybody else on Echolink want to check in? Okay, very good. So let's go with Don, W2JEK, K2BAR.
K2BAR, the net, W2JEK, good evening, everybody. Announcing the Barrow will be holding a test session on Friday, August 28th. Friday night, August 28th at 7 p.m. Center in the Municipal Washington, next to the police station where we hold our Barra club meetings during the summer. Barra meetings all the time. Coming, you need ID like a driver's license or a passport with your photo or document photo ID. Fee is $15. Have a license, bring your license and a copy of your license. License will need a social FR red number from the FC ready for to calculator, it can be scanned, but the memory must be empty. This is other than calculators, such as calculators for the covers it. Vector net, W2JK.
Okie doke. Anybody have any additions for or questions for Don? Was that Jim?
Yeah, if somebody can't make Friday night, Fairlawn is doing testing on Saturday. August 22nd. Information at testing.flares.net. No, sorry, flarc.net. Alright.
Very good. So, in addition to the test session that Dunn's running, there's an opportunity to have another crack at it on Saturday the 22nd. And the information's on FLARC, FLARC.net. Very good. Anything else for Don from anybody? Okay, Don, your ball.
I should mention that this test session will be in the lower level in the basement room where we operate at our events before. The main downstairs in the lower level. This is following a series of classes that Rachel WD is giving people that will be there at exam. Take an exam. We have them all. KRRL's website and our website. Meetings. Governor Puff. Barrow website at .org. That was at Fagnet, W2D.
That's magnificent. Thank you very much. Alrighty. Any other questions for Don? Alrighty. Well, then let's get a move on here. Our next comment is going to be from N2OEL. Mr. Noel, it's your ball, K2BAR.
Gordon, this is N2OEL. My iPad, which I had for a little over about 3.5 years, has been running slower and slower. It's an iPad 2. And I found by searching the web, basically erase everything and start over. And it's very easy. It takes a little while though. First you do a backup, either use the cable and go into a computer through iTunes, or what I did was I put the regular backup to the iCloud. Once you have, and you're sure you have a backup of your data, go in into general and you go to reset. And it asks you a couple times, asks you for your password. But when you're done, it basically just resets everything. Except the operating system. The operating system is still whichever version you have on there. Everything else is gone. Then you do a restore of the backup. Now, the interesting thing is, when I back up the iPad, it takes several minutes. Not a lot of data that goes up, obviously. However, when I did the restore, it took more like 5 hours, and after some checking, I found the reason was, back up the data, you're just backing up your personal stuff. When you do a restore, all of the apps come in and out of the app store, one by one. So they take a while. And I had 4 gigabytes free when I started. After I cleaned everything out and then did the restore, I had 12 gigabytes free. It's on a 32 gigabyte iPad. And the same procedure could be used on your iPhone, as well as the iPad mini, and many of the Apple devices. So if any of you people have a Apple device that starts to run slow, do research, find out on the internet how this works, and do the same thing. Back to net, this is N2OEL.
Well, very good. So it's running faster, and you have 3 times as much available memory. Isn't that fascinating? I'll let Nancy know that. So, where do you do the backup to? Do you do it to your iCloud?
Well, you can either back up to a standard. I could have used iTunes and backed up to my IBM computer. But I choose to pay for the extra 10 gigabytes of storage, so I have 20 gigabytes of storage out on the iCloud. And I just backed up to the app.
Okay. Noel, did you drop out? I got the, you got the extra 10 gig of memory on the iCloud, and then you dropped out.
What happened is I have a dual band radio, and evidently somebody started talking on the other band, so I turned it down. Yeah, and then it just amazed me that
went from 4 gigs out of 32, well, actually more like 27, because about 5 is used for your operating system, 5 gigs, believe it or not. But, yeah, it went from 4 gigs free to 12 gigs free. So, on an Apple device, it's the equivalent of taking an IBM computer and wiping the disk and formatting the disk, starting over, reloading the operating system, and reloading each of your programs one by one, so you're getting a fresh start. Equivalent of that, but a lot faster, because it knows which apps you have, and it takes the apps directly off of the iTunes website. The only thing is, if one of your apps is no longer offered on the website, on iTunes, I should say, when you reload it, you lose that app, because you had it on your iPad, no longer offered, so when it tries to reload, it says, can't do it, let me try again. You say, yes. Nope, can't do it, let me try again. So eventually you give up and realize it's gone. And it was an interesting thing. I never realized you could do that. This is N2OEL.
Well, that's great. That's just super. All right. So I'm assuming you can do that with not just your iPad, but your iPhone as well. So I'll let Nancy know about that, and others might be interested as well. If you want, this would be a good opportunity for you to just write out some basic notes in an email, maybe just a quick high-level step-by-step as to what you need to do, and put it in an email to the ComTech group. The ComTech group, as everybody might know, is our email distribution list and website. It's on Yahoo Groups. It's a closed group, so you're not going to get any spam or anything nonsensical like that. But we hope that you'll join it. It's Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa, ComTech Group, all in one, as one phrase. And the other thing you might consider is that we also have these notes are recorded, and they're at amateurradio.tangovictor. Amateurradio.tangovictor, and all but the first three nets are recorded there. The most recent ones will be at the top of the list, and then you got to go in the archives for the rest, but they're all there for your listening pleasure. All righty. Anything for Noel on this subject?
I sent you the links via email this morning.
Oh, that's super. All right, well, I'll forward it on to the ComTech group unless you do first. All right, very good. Well, thank you very much. Anybody have any thoughts for Noel? All righty then. I'm just going to point out before we go to our next speaker that we had National Night Out on Tuesday, and many of us participated in Fairlawn. And it worked very, very well. A lot of Barra members, Chestnut Ridge members, and obviously Fairlawn members as well. And that was kind of neat. In fact, some of us are members of all three. But neither here nor there, it was all good. And we did have a few non-hams, a few non-public safety emergency responder types show up. But I think in the future, PR is in order, and it was also a nice site because it was the same site we used for Field Day, and it's also the site that I believe we plan to use for Portable Day in October, which will be the third weekend in October, the third Saturday. So plan your Portable Day around that, and let me drop it. One other thing about that is that Braga, WHBYX, got there a couple hours before I did, and as promised, launched some rope high into the trees, and it was really lovely having a 40-meter dipole that was, the best part of a half wave in the air. God, that was lovely. It really was lovely. I don't normally get to do it that way. I don't even get a realistic quarter wave above the ground because of all the ground clutter.
around my house with my 40 meter dipole. It's only about 35 in the center and one leg, and the other leg is sloped down to the southeast, so it's pretty nasty. Alrighty. Our next commenter, actually question, our next question, pardon me, is K2GFM. Greg, it's your ball, K2BAR.
Thank you, Gordon. I think based on what I've been doing research on the internet, this might be somewhat of a controversial question to ask, but what the heck, I'll ask it anyway. So, I managed to score a used Kenwood HF transceiver, TS-570D, and this is my first HF receiver, and I am very limited in terms of antenna space in my yard, and I wound up going with the Comet CHA-250B no ground plane antenna. That's part of the controversial part. I know that. It's a compromised antenna. Originally, when I first hooked it up earlier this week, I had a very high noise floor. And let me let it drop for a second. And I was doing a little bit of reading, and I found a couple of comments around putting an RF choke on the coax as it exits from the antenna. I did that last night, and I was very pleased with the results. The noise floor went from roughly on 20 meters, went roughly from S7, S8 to S4, S5, and I was very pleased. Tonight, I came home, and I wanted to neaten things up. I actually had a six-loop coil on the coax, and I was doing some more reading, and someone had posted something about doing an eight-loop with an eight-inch diameter, and I looped it to do that. And tonight I noticed that the noise floor is much higher than it was yesterday. Actually, as I'm sitting here, I see something pop up on my screen that says 20 meters is terrible tonight, and the net that I was going to join had just moved to 40. In any case, I was first of all asking about RF chokes and if I did it right and what people's thoughts were on that. And the second part of that question is, where can I go? Is there any place to go and find some indication of how the different bands are doing on a particular day? All right, back to Ned.
Oh, yes. Okay, so let me go to the second part first. There is a propagation site. Well, there's several propagation sites out there, and you can definitely make good use of them. I'm trying to remember the one that's really, really good. It's almost got like a heat map for eSkip and for Tropo. Well, Tropo you don't need to worry about, except maybe on 10 meters, but there's quite a... It's quite a bit. Let's see. Tell you what. Let me make this a jump ball. Who wants to comment first on the antenna, on the comment antenna?
Comment.
Go comment.
82 CAK in the group. I believe that people are usually happier with that antenna as an HF antenna, as a DX antenna, as you have a lot of loss with local contacts. But other than that, it's a very nice antenna. Of course, it's much nicer to have two. Keep it in your arsenal there. And on the situations out there, 10,000 is a good frequency to listen to for beacon. And if you just Google, you know, radio beacons out there, give you an interesting allotment of things to chase. I'm sure people out here can recommend certain beacons. Back to K2BAR, K2CAK.
Let me just get from Greg, what was the model of that Comet antenna again, please?
Okay, doing it from memory, I believe it's the CHA-250B, 250B.
All right, no problem. Yeah, that's fine. I'll go look it up to see if that's for real, but I suspect it is. Charlie Hotel Alpha 250 Bravo. Alright. We'll see what goes. Alright.
for the NCXF/IARU. It's the Northern California DX Foundation. Has beacon transmitters, 14100, 18110, 21150, 24390, 28200, and they operate every 10 seconds. They have a one with their caller identification, UN or VE388, up in Canada, and they will send the tone, and then they drop the tone. Dashes are set at watts. First dash is at, 100 watts, and then the four remaining three remaining dashes are at 10 watts, 1 watt, and 100 milliwatt. And if you sit there, and there are, according to the I have, 18 is these stations. I don't know, they're all on the air. I know Venezuela, YV5 Bravo was depending on the time of the day. Give you the information. www.ncdxf, that's November Charlie Delta X-ray Foxtrot .org/beacon/beacons schedule. And the word schedule is a capital S. You should be able to get that information. Very often, one thing I do listen to is the AMZ program to memories. Up in a second. WV is on 2.5, 5, 10, 15, 20, and 25 megahertz. Canada, 3.33, 0.330, and 7.850 megahertz. Memory there. And those are also a good idea what the airwaves are like. Back to that, W2J.
Yeah, it's a good frequency list. Maybe Don can put that on the ComTech group. It's a good, those are good references. Also that website, you know, for the Northern California DX Foundation. Yeah, there's also a Beacon Network. There's all sorts of things out there. So you do have choices. You have plenty of choices to consider. Anyway, anybody else?
Comment.
Bruce, go ahead.
WATQBC, there's always DX Watch if you're looking for spots, and that'll give an idea who's hearing what where.
Sure, DX Watch and the Reverse Beacon Network and a few other things, yeah, it's all good. Those are good answers. Alrighty, Let's see. Greg, I'm just curious. For bands like 40 or even 20, a wire dipole is not feasible?
The problem is altitude. My backyard is basically a pool, and anything I do would have to go over that, and significant other just, you know, doesn't understand the aesthetic beauty of having wires hanging over a pool, so unfortunately that is kind of out of the question. And I guess basically the reason I'm saying that is because my understanding is that these antennas are relatively long. You know, doing the research online, I've been looking at somewhere between 70 and 140 feet for the bands that I'm looking for, and in my backyard that won't work. And in addition to that, the reason I went with the Comet antenna that I did go with was because it doesn't have radials and it doesn't have a counterpoise, because that would also consume too much space in the backyard. Now, in theory, I could put something up on the roof that I could support some type of counterpoise, but at this point, I'm sort of experimenting with just the vertical with no radials and counterpoise.
Comment. Good comment.
K2BAR, AC2GI. I do have a compromised antenna that people tell me it doesn't work, but I have a Ultimax DX Extreme. It's an MFED, and it goes from my chimney out with one black wire about 53 foot across my yard before it turns to a rope and then goes over a pulley and that kind of stuff. And I only run 100 watts. I only have an internal tuner, and I have contacts from 6 to 160 on that. I did work to all states, and I have my DXDC on it, but people tell me it doesn't work, but it's something to look at, because I'm challenged geographically as well. Back to that, AC2GI.
GJ.
Go ahead, Don.
Like if you could get that vertical up on the roof, that at the horizon, much more so than having it your energies along the ground into your house, into the neighbor's house, and the trees and everything around your house. Get it. The thing that I have here is a long wire, and you could configure it, but have a separate antenna dipole for 6 meters. Wire starts out at the cellar window, goes up to the yard. Like a pretzel, and they'll still work. That's something that affects the net.
Go ahead, comment.
All right, the disclaimer is I do this, but I don't recommend it for everybody. I've been experimenting using random wire antennas just made out of four-core telephone wire, and I marry the four cores together so that it just has an appearance of either gray or black telephone wire hung up wherever I tend to throw it. And while I've used a random wire remote antenna tuner at the base of it and had a lot of luck, I've recently started experimenting with using a ground rod instead of a counterpoise, seeing ground conductivity. While I have temporarily halted that to use the tuner somewhere else, that's led me to researching balance, and I'm wondering whether you recommend that type of an antenna system, what people's idea of are in reference to using balance in general are, and different types of balance. Get over my head with the technical because I'm still studying, but I'm wondering whether he couldn't use a random wire with a balun and a ground rod in kind of a manner where HA250, which is a 6 to 80, if I remember, that uses no ground. Problem there is you don't have contact with every, not vertically polarized, so you have a lot of gain. People don't love that inch, but I'm looper there with a balun and what other people's opinions would be.
CAK
back to
Keith. Okay, K2BAR, K2BAR. Okay, so I'm looking at your street here using Google Earth, and you're the house with the kidney-shaped pool, not the square one, or the rectangular one, right?
Yep, that's correct. And those trees are not mine, and it would be problematic for me to leverage those trees in any way.
You can see where they are in the relation to the property line. So, what you can do is, and stay away from the all-hallowed optical annoyance of, to your wife, is run a pole on your fence, you know, partway up your driveway. In other words, basically, just take like a 12-foot piece of pole and use that to terminate the dipole on one end. The center, go to the back southeast corner of your property, behind your garage, or even, heaven forbid, on your garage, and then run the other leg to a pole along your fence line, on the southwest side of the property. That way, no wires will be over the pool area, and you can run the coax in the air from that garage to the house over the drive at a reasonable height, and everything will be happy.
Yeah, that's interesting. I had toyed with that. So let me just throw that back and ask a counter question to that. My original plan, or my original thoughts, were to actually do exactly that, but to actually mount the wire to the top of my fence, which is a 6-foot fence. And from what I've been reading, 6 feet is not far enough above the ground for this type of antenna. But let me just ask here what your thoughts are.
Well, it'll act like an Envis antenna, and you certainly could do that. What I was suggesting is that
you know, a pole that's 12 feet high, let's say partway up your driveway, but let's say even or slightly up from the house, you know, basically, you know, away from the street, and then to a, you know, a support in the back corner somewhere, I'm going to assume your lot's about 100 feet deep, right?
Yeah, give or take.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the worst case is, you know, you run an inverted V, you put a tripod on your garage roof, just to, get as high up as you can, or, you know, just get even a supportable mat, you know, it's a push-up mast that's, you know, 30, 40 feet that's bracketed to the back of your garage or somewhere no one cares. Just keep it away from your other neighbor's prying eyes. Get it back in those trees in the southeast corner, you'll be fine. And then just run the other wire, again, as a sloper east-west. I mean, it'll be 90 degrees, but if you run it as an inverted V, while it will favor those directions, you'll probably get a generally rounded, slightly, you know, squashed pattern to the southeast, so what?
All right, yeah, that's an interesting option. That's actually not a garage that you're looking at. That's actually a room over the garage, but something might be able to be done there. Interesting thought. Okay, I will do a little bit more research and think about that. Just to go back to my original question about RF chokes, I was just wondering if anybody had any comments about how to make those properly for basically the 80 to 10 meter bands.
10 turns of about 10 inch, 8 or 10 inches in diameter of coax is one way at the feed point. And just, you know, tape it up or, you know, just nice and neat. Or you can use one of those ferrite, you know, choke ballons that basically looks like a cylinder with a coax connector on either end.
I missed the beginning of that. You said something with an 8-inch diameter, which is, I went with an 8-turn, 8-inch diameter. I'm not sure if that's what you said or not.
That's fine. 8 to 10 turns, 8 to 10 inches in diameter. It's all, that's of coax. That's good.
Some things to play with, and I was actually just looking at the site that Don pointed out. That looks interesting as well, so I appreciate that. All right, very good. I'm going to go do some research. Thank you very much, and back to you, Gordon. Thank you.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, a book written called Lou McCoy on Antennas, deceased ham, silent key, W1ICP, and one of, he used to do a lot of antenna articles for QST. And one thing, I read this book, and what he's basically says is you fire up from point A to point B, doesn't matter how long it is, as high, get it as high as you can get it, feed it with open wire and use a tuner, and the tuner takes care of a lot of the problems, and it'll work good for you. Frankie with open wire, getting into the house and stuff like that. I don't know, just bring open wire up to where it comes into the house and then use a short length of coax. A lot of options in that game. And one thing I'll tell you, I've had a 40 meter dipole up, maybe 20 feet, 6 feet, or across the top of a hill, that helps. But I've worked all over continents on 40 meters. Get out, even though it's on the house. I connect, W2JK.
Well, that sounds really wonderful. Okay. Very good. Anybody else have any thoughts? Okay. Greg, well, it was our pleasure to answer that question, and glad you brought it up. And, yeah, I think you got some work to do with the YL. I am such a blessed man. Oh, my Lord. My wife is too patient. That's a whole nother conversation. But anyway, all righty. Let's see. Our next question will come from, let's see. I wasn't actually looking at the list. Bruce. WA2QBC, your ball, how are you? K2BAR.
K2BAR, WA2QBC, Gage Gordon.
A couple of quick comments here first. I got two bricks, they're living in the car permanently till I see you. Second piece is an announcement. I don't believe I heard this before, just a reminder to everyone here, the Barra picnic is this week, Saturday, 10 a.m. in the morning to 3 o'clock in Lake.
Did you say Saturday?
Sorry, Sunday. I've got my picnics mixed up.
Okay, so the Barra picnic is Sunday at Wooddale Park. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not going to make it, but we are going to have a Eagle Court of Honor at 4 o'clock, so I have a good excuse.
For designs of a Yagi?
We doubled almost perfectly. My fault. Go ahead, Bruce.
Okay, yeah, the picnic is on Sunday. From 10 to 3, there will be a grill. The club is providing hot dogs and burgers and maybe other. Various people are bringing other things to come. And what I was looking for is, I haven't done the research yet on the web, but maybe I can save myself a little bit of time. If there are any suggestions out there among the group, design program online, web page, or just solid design for a 6-meter Yagi and a 2-meter Yagi. I'm looking at something, 4 elements, maybe a little longer, and 2, at least a dozen elements, if not more.
Oh, well, I like the spacing on the 4-element directive systems, or the 4 or 5-element directive systems, Yagi. I can see something that roughly approximates that, and we'll go from there. Let me see. You want 4 elements, I'm trying to see which design looks really good to me. I don't know. There's a, I'm not seeing ones that float my boat. Oh, the LFA, is this it? Hold on. I'm just trying to remember. Yeah, I'm trying to find one that you don't have to spend money on.
I want to homebrew this thing, Gordon.
Oh, I know. No, I know, but the dimensions for the directive systems, Yagi, was pretty good, to say the least. Yeah, I'd have to go look. It's been a while. There's a couple of designs here. Ah, here's one. Ah, yes. I will post this to the ComTech group, because it's too complicated. I did a Google search, and it was at the bottom. I did a Google search for 4-element 50 megahertz Yagi, or Yagi 50 megahertz. And there's one from OZ6FRS, Oscar Zulu 6FRS.
Okay, Gordon, thanks. I should be able to find that easily.
Yeah, well, I put the URL to it in the notes for the net, and it'll be on ComTech Group as soon as this net's over. It'll be there for you. But actually, it says OZ1 Papa India Foxtrot in the URL on his homepage, so... So OZ1 Papa India Foxtrot. Oh, it's on his homepage, and then go from there.
Okay, got it, Gordon. And any suggestions for dimensions for a 2-meter? Preferably using, I think it's about 5/32 welding rod.
Yeah. Actually, if you can find one. I'll be real honest. For the size you're looking for, the 10-element directive systems, Yagi, again, that general design is good. The other one is to is the 13B2. Amazingly enough, the Cushcraft 13B2 is not a bad one, and that they both use rod stock of something similar to what you're asking.
Okay, I'll do some digging and see what I can find, Gordon. Thanks a lot. W-A-2-Q-B-C.
W-A-2-J-C.
Yeah, Jim, before you take it, there's actually a 9-element Yagi for the 2-meter band on DX zone. I find that one to be, if that's actually the scale, I'm not overly impressed. Now, in fact, I don't like that one. That design does nothing for me. It's the proverbial, what I call fishbone kind of Yagi, you know, where you have the elements are as much as possible the same length and the spacing is the same. That's just inexcusable. But there's some nice play. I'm noticing, I haven't done this search in a while, but clearly the folks who have you know, a financial interest in these matters do a land office business in dominating the web searches. I'll be real honest, I'm not a fan of nearly uniform spacing or uniform length elements in the directors. That to me is chicken doo-doo, as it were, in the way of a design cop-out. It's not the way the waves really behave, so why would you build an antenna that way? You know, that's one where you design for mechanical convenience and the limited skills of the builder. I would encourage you to do better.
Yeah, Roger Gordon. I'm looking to go longer, at least 13 elements and up. Probably build a pair of them. Probably phase them together. Certainly spin them. I'm looking for bigger. I've already got smaller Yagis for two available. I'm looking to go bigger and more game. Also looking, trying to get some more altitude, but that's a separate problem.
Yeah, okay, so I just did a different search. I did a search on the phrase 2M or 2-meter Yagi homebrew, and I got a lot better answers. Let me ask this question. If you want a high takeoff angle for ESCAP, you know, you might want to go shorter and put them side by side instead of one over the other. One over the other, just like lengthening the boom, lowers the takeoff angle.
Yeah, I'm looking at both solutions for single sideband as well as aptly enough. I'll fiddle around. I'll do some more digging. Thanks a lot for the suggestion on the search line. I haven't had the time to look at it yet. I'll put something together.
Well, here's a nice design. M0UKD, complete with a picture. There you go. Yeah. This guy's got his act together. I like that first director nice and tight to the driven. Yeah, you might be able to, in fact, you know what, you could start with this design and bang it up on Easy Neck or L Neck and lengthen it out. I'm going to put this one in the notes for you too. But the M0UKD is another good starting point for an antenna, okay?
I've got this all noted down and written.
I think we had another station. Who was that?
Gordon, back off on your audio a bit. You're quite raspy, except when you drift off looking at things.
Oh yeah, I forgot. This is, you know, in my car I have to all but eat the microphone, and this is the one hot microphone I have in my shack, so I apologize. Thank you, Jim, for the reminder. And I've definitely added that to the notes here. So that's another good thing, but you can try 2M Yagi homebrew. I guess
guess is you could probably try 6M Yagi Homebrew as well. That might be another good thing to think about. So I'll put that in the notes as well, just give people some ways to, because if you just look up 6-liter Yagi or 50 megahertz or 144 megahertz Yagi, what I'm seeing is that you get dominated by the commercial antenna designs, and that really doesn't answer the call. And generally speaking, I'm with you. I like to build my antennas from scratch, but I do have some antennas that I've just acquired over the period of years, and I don't mind dealing with commercial antennas, because very often I end up modifying them, and sometimes even just a rehab on them is as complicated or maybe a little less complicated as a homebrew. The only difference is that I get better fit and finish, because the holes are where they're supposed to be, and the bracketing and things like that is of a better machining quality than I might be able to derive on a homebrew basis. So that's fine too, but all good. Anything else for Bruce? Alrighty. Bruce, any last ones for you?
I think that'll keep me busy for a while. I got some more research to do, and then some purchasing to do of serial and hardware and whatnot. Thanks a lot, Gordon. K2DAR, WA2QBC.
Yeah, one of the, there's a lot of different suppliers out there, but one that you might miss for VHF, because most of the suppliers are geared toward HF radio, like Array Solutions and all those kinds of guys. You might look at Down East Microwave, and whatever they don't have on their website, just call Sandy and see what she's got in stock. And she and Steve have quite a business down there in Florida. I liked it better when they were here in New Jersey, but I still like to refer business to them. They're good people. And they represent quality products.
Yeah, thanks, Gordon. I'll look at that. And just one other comment that comes to mind. Someone was asking about balance a little bit earlier and chokes. A bunch of us in the club have been winding our own chokes and balance, sometimes at kit night, sometimes, on the side. We've used toroids typically that we buy off the web, magnet wire or coated wire, depending upon what we're using. And there's all sorts of design, whether we're dealing with dipoles, off-center fed dipoles, end feds, and whatever else. So if you ask another time, or if you ever come down to kit night and ask there, there's a whole bunch of us that could offer suggestions based on the specific requirements.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I just, one other thing about Down East Microwave is that they have stuff that's not necessarily on their website, so just be aware of that. And they have those little Delrin insulators for the rod stock you're talking about, and they also have the little inverted star keepers to keep those going. By the way, the best way to deal with those and to center everything properly, besides, proper marking, use those, a ratchet driver. It gives you something to cup the Delrin with, and allows you to get a grip on it without having to sacrifice your fingers to the gods, or poke a hole in your palm. Alrighty. Let's see. Anybody else?
J2JEK.
Mr. Don.
Those people mentioning radials, one thing that for some people, if you have copper water piping in your house, is countervoice. The thing I did, infrared wire. I had a tuner by the cellar window, thing loaded up pretty good. The FN wire loaded up pretty good. Went all the way up 10 meters. Made an 8.5 foot piece of wire, just stretched it along the collar. Not that good as a counterpoise, the speed of man, and settled everything down. And I do not use a ballast for my back. Matter of fact, I don't use a bell wrench. John K. N1H wrote an article. There's a bell in eating your lunch. It's done good for a lot of the hour. They're matched to upper flying, but if you try to match, match something up, it's getting cooked. Back to net, W2JK.
That's good advice, Don. Anybody else? Alrighty. Bruce, you have your answers?
Escort, and I'm all set. And by the way, depending on your power level, when you're dealing with wire antennas, you can get by with some pretty skinny wire. Steve, I know, is looking at using WI2W, is looking at 26 gauge for QRP. A lot of folks use 20 gauge. I'm dabbling in 16 gauge for 200 watts and less class. So there's no reason to go to the really heavy stuff like 12 gauge. Unless you're pushing a kilowatt or something along those lines. K2BAR, WH2QBC.
That's good advice. That's very good advice. I actually wanted to try the woven braid. I really wanted to try that at some point. I thought that might be something very, very different and neat because, number one, it doesn't get as tangled, and number two, it's a little more mechanically robust than a single conductor that could break in the field.
Yeah, interesting you mentioned that, Gordon. I was looking at some amplifier designs, and one of the comments I finally found, which answered an old question that I had, is they specifically recommend against using any kind of braided material as ground strapping for the tubes or grid grounding, etc., whatever you're trying to ground on the tubes. And usually flat ribbon plated is the best way to go, wire otherwise, but definitely not braided wire.
Yeah, for internal ground strapping, absolutely, especially in a plate circuit, things like that. You know, where it's handy are things like car, you know, plate parts where, you know, there might be movement between two pieces. And what you do is you make up for that by bonding not just at a point, but at an edge. In other words, you braise the braid the edge of it to the base metal it's attached to on either end of the braid, and that works out very well. Having said that, on my trailer hitch mount, because I have a moving part and a not so moving part, I took a piece of probably number 16, maybe number 14 solid wire. Was it solid? No, I think it was stranded, and put it between two stainless steel bolts that were on either end of the metal, and of course it's like a foot and a half of it, so it's not really short either. But it gave me continuity, and it'd be nicer if it was a piece of 2-inch strap or a 2-inch copper flashing or something like that. But then I'd have a tri-metal junction twice, so I really didn't need that. But good point. In those, you know, high voltage tuned circuits where there's high Q, you just don't want to mess around with braid. Too many variables.
Substitute for straps, some people take copper tubing and just pound it flat, and that works pretty well.
Yeah, and in a fixed environment, that's fine, but again, if you have moving metal parts, you can't do that.
Yeah, understood. There you have to go to very thin thin wires, and it flexes a lot easier without fatiguing so quickly.
Exactly. Hence my number, 14 or 16, it's 16 stranded wire. All too much of it, but I have it. Alrighty. Anything else from anybody?
JEK, Walter W. 82 WDJ said he was going to be on 69, correct?
That is correct. 14 2 3.